The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver just after 5 o'clock. We doing this or what?
Oh, here we go.
That's a video review at 18:04. The puck entered the net and ripped it. We have a good goal.
Yes, sir.
McCarr rips it. He scores. Cale McCarr, an epic shot.
Here's Johnson on it now.
Here's Taves a shot, and he scores. Devon Taves ties the game. Centering feed, a shot to score. A beautiful assist from Cale McCarr. And it's 4-3 Colorado. Colorado with the empty net and down the ice and a goal. The empty net goal. And that will seal the deal.
I mean, he might be the best player in the league right now. The way he dominates from the back end is amazing. He's so dominant. You know, he might be one of the best to ever play by the end of his career at this rate. So
it's not about ego. It's about winning, and the most dangerous team in the NHL gets going today with the Avalanche hosting Ryan O'Reilly and the St. Louis Blues. Are you getting chills out there? Woo! 2.5 hours away from the puck dropping, and let's go! Finally, Tyler, this wait has been ridiculous.
Man, it does feel like an eternity since the Colorado Avalanche have played. I'm really excited to watch this game tonight. Starts at 7:30. You said that it should start at 7:30. That's good. I hate having to wait around.
Oh, it should. I mean, there is. Oh my God.
Oh, I thought you said earlier. You said it with confidence earlier.
It should, because Tampa, Tampa and Florida are on TNT at 5 o'clock. However, that being said, if you've got TNT on your cable, you probably do have TBS as well. If you have ESPN, you may not have ESPNU.
Right.
But if you got TNT, you probably got TBS. So just a heads up, that's where they would bounce the game to if it does start a little bit later, or Tampa and Florida go to overtime. By the way, you've got some interesting series here, and I don't know if the Blues and the Avalanche really are one of them. When you think about Tampa at Florida, now I know it's Florida hockey, but Tampa's the two-time defending champ,
yep,
and Florida was the President's Trophy winner. So for whatever bad blood exists between Tampa and Miami,
yeah. By the
there
way,
you go.
Andrew Mason, welcome, welcome to the club and everything. He's got a Lightning sweater on right now. I mean, not a jersey sweater. He's got a literal sweatshirt on. But you know, the Avalanche play tonight, Andrew. You know that, right? Hey, you know, I feel good about the Avalanche. How could you not feel good about the Colorado Avalanche? They look so good in the first round. You flat out, you come out there, you sweep them in the most literal sense. You swept them. Darcy Kemper's back. He's healthy. The team is healthy. It feels great, but there is a part of me that's looking at this Blues team and it's like, are we underestimating these guys a little bit?
Well,
they are an offensive powerhouse.
They have 9 players who have 20 or more goals. Thanks to our listeners in Conifer for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. But they did win a close series, obviously, with the Wild. I don't know, man. Hasn't played pretty well against them. Took care of business last year against them in the first round.
Well, it's the opposite of the Preds, right? So the Avalanche,
man,
did not have a great regular season record against the Preds. They did handle their business against the Blues. It was the end of the year when, you know, by the way, the Avalanche, they needed to play really well in that game. They needed to get a little bit of good vibes going into the playoffs, and they did it. And so here you are. It feels like everything's set up to be on cruise control. I would expect, hey, Vegas is telling us they're expecting an offensive show tonight.
How so?
The line's set at 6.5. So, you know, whether the Avs, if they get up 4-0, I don't know if that hits the over, because maybe things slow down a little bit.
Right.
Both goaltenders are really good. Bennington, you know, you're saying, you kind of surprised me, to be honest, but you're acting like there might be a little bit of goalie controversy
out there. Russo started the series against Minnesota and they
yanked him. Bennington was playing awfully well. I mean, how are they going to swap that out?
They're not planning to, but I was talking to the St. Louis Muggles, our guy Benjamin Hockman. So great to see Ben today. Longtime writer for the Denver Post, been out in St. Louis now for quite a bit. And I was asking about what's going on there. And what he told me is Craig Berube, their head coach, he will make no excuses, no guilt changes if he just feels like it's the right thing to do for whatever reason. So when I was talking to Ben, he told me that as much as it is Binghamton series, there will be no hesitation whatsoever to just go back to Huso if things aren't going well for Binghamton. Mm. And I anticipate a freaking barrage tonight from the Avalanche against the Blues.
Oh, I hope
right
so.
Off the bat.
That would be fantastic. I don't know. Binghamton scares me a little bit. He certainly knows what this moment is. He's been through this. He's been
sure
all
has.
The way.
He's a champion.
He's a champion, yeah. and he's hot right now. So he makes me a little bit nervous. But the Avs are in great shape. You know, Wayne Gretzky,
What's wrong with him?
So he's 8-for-8 on his playoff predictions. Mm-hmm. He's perfect, 100%. Mm-hmm. He's got the Avs losing this one.
Yeah, I know.
That bother you?
I think he's just lucky. I think he's bored and he's lucky to have a job.
All right, devil's advocate here. Why does he have the Avalanche losing to the Blues?
I actually don't know. I have no clue. I don't know how you would look at the regular season, past postseason. If you want to consider last year's second round exit, the truth of the matter is, kill you with truth, as good as we all thought the Avalanche were and as good as they looked, they weren't as deep as this Avalanche team. The goalie probably was not as good as Darcy Kemper with Grubauer. And there just had to be a little bit more tough skin to be built up with this team. And they've built it up. And they made changes at the trade deadline, especially with the acquisition of Manson. Sturm's a good, tough fourth liner. Cogliano's a support player. Okay. But Lekkonen has been just this crazy, fantastic addition where Burakovsky was playing on the first line, maybe the second line. Well, they've moved him down. They've got Nikushkin. That's how I'm saying it. On the first line with Rantanen and MacKinnon. And then there's Kadri, who's back. Mm-hmm. So when you look at all the things that they didn't have last year when they lost the Golden Knights, all those things are solidly in place for the Avalanche. And everybody's healthy and everybody's quite aware of how to keep Kadri in this series, not get him suspended.
The only thing I can think of, it's got to be a sins of the past thing. And I wonder, I just wonder, is that what NHL people think of the Colorado Avalanche? Do they just think of them as the in-season darlings? And nobody's really feeling that threatened. Like, oh, they're going to fall apart. They haven't been past the second round in 21 years. Do they look at, like, the Cincinnati Bengals for years? You get through the regular season and you make it into the playoffs, but you can't get past the first round.
Right.
You know, I was thinking about like why do NBA fans all hate the Suns? I think it's because the Suns and four guy. I don't know. I can't really figure out why the Suns, like, they're just a random team that just randomly got good. But it feels like everybody hates them.
They felt arrogant.
Yes. I don't feel like the NHL hates the Colorado Avalanche. I don't feel like people hate the fan base. I don't feel like they hate the team. I don't feel like they're actively rooting against them. I just wonder if that's is there seriously just that big of an assumption outside of Colorado that the Avs are going to fall apart?
I don't think so. I just think the storyline with the Avs is a little clouded because of how good they are. And how little they had to struggle the least out of all the teams. And I think it's a little interesting for hockey fans out there because the best player on the Avalanche right now is Cale Makar. As good as Nathan MacKinnon is, and he is, Cale Makar arguably is the best player on the Avalanche and maybe low-key the best player in the NHL right
now. He might be, which is crazy to say he's even the best player on the Avalanche, yet alone the entire NHL. When you've got MacKinnon on the same team,
so they may not be taking Makar seriously enough right now. Go ahead. Sorry.
I missed something that you said, and I gotta verify if this is accurate or not. Okay. On the text line, somebody is pointing out. Did you say that Wayne Gretzky is lucky to have a job?
I was joking around.
Did you say that?
Yes, I did.
Are you sure you were joking?
Yeah, of course I was joking.
Somehow that one just went, I'm a tall fellow, but that one went right over my head.
I think this is these wicked rich guys.
Like, man, how did Wayne Gretzky get how is he an analyst? Yeah, what has he ever done?
I was being facetious. And maybe he's just a little bored. But no, he's well-deserving to speak out his mind however he wants.
Okay.
I mean, it would have been
better if you dug your heels in and you're like, yeah, he's terrible.
Hey, I don't know if
he's
a
terrible analyst. He was overrated.
Well, I don't know if you watch his tape. I don't know if Wayne Gretzky's a good analyst.
He's 8-for-8.
What did he do?
What series did he pick?
He played for the Rangers. Was he going to pick the Penguins over the Rangers when he played for the Rangers?
Guess who won the NCAA bracket challenge at the Fan? Guess who won?
Some idiot, probably.
Yeah, me.
Right.
Me. Yeah,
exactly.
I won.
Oh, you picked Calgary to win. Oh, my God.
What the heck does Gretzky know?
Oh, you picked Tampa to win. How did you see the two-time defending champs win? St. Louis over Minnesota. I'll give you props on that one.
There's been some really good hockey going on in the playoffs so far. It's been fun to watch.
I know, but it's basically been chalk, though, up and down. It hasn't been crazy.
There's been some good games, though.
Habs in five.
That feels about right. Feels like they should dominate, probably going to lose a game. Maybe they lose two. Probably going to have to come back home, right? But if they win, I'll say this. If they win the first two games, maybe they just sweep again. And obviously that's way to step out on the ledge there. But, I mean, if you win the first two games at home, okay, maybe you go out to St. Louis and you just don't have to come back.
The schedule is set up exactly the same as Nashville, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. Not an afternoon, early afternoon game on Saturday. It's you know, at night. But, I mean, it's set up exactly the same. It wouldn't surprise me. Can I just address something on the text line here on good old Hot Take Tuesday?
Sure.
Please say Val's name right. I know you think you did your research and can say Nikushkin, but it sounds so dumb. I've never heard another person pronounce it that way, and it tarnishes your hockey knowledge hearing it. We have, me and the Muggles, the Hockey Muggles, Tyler, have done research on this exact topic.
Hold on.
We have found...
Hold on. I got to question that immediately. When you say you've done research, okay, so you've hit Google. Have you asked him? Have you asked him how to say his name?
He doesn't really talk to people.
Okay. Have you asked somebody of the Avalanche PR department?
I have. They said it's good either way.
That's not an answer. You know what that is?
I'm sorry you don't like the answer.
You know what that answer is, right? That means nobody can get it right, so we've given up.
We've seen it done in two different pronunciation guides, two different ways.
Well, there can't be two correct answers to this. So I'm not buying you could say it either way. No. There has to be one answer.
How do you want to say?
You're the guy that's been there for every game. You're the guy that's been asking them all.
You can say Nikushkin. You can say Nichushkin.
Well, sure, you can say whatever you want.
How would you like to say it?
Chew.
You want to say Nichushkin?
Nichushkin.
Because
it's just easier for me to remember because I emphasize the chew. Nichushkin.
Nichushkin. It's not like Mike Mayock.
Like, what do you mean there's two correct ways? That's not possible.
Two different pronunciation guys, both okayed by the NHL. We saw two different ways.
They've just given up.
What can I tell you?
They just don't think anybody can get it right.
So calm down with your, you know, Nichushkin arrogance. You can do it either way. It made me very sensitive initially because I really did think I was screwing it up top to bottom.
Well, you know, we know you're sensitive because literally every single time you said his name for the last 2 weeks, you said, I've checked. I can say it either way I want.
Right, because I like saying Nikushkin. I'd rather say Nikushkin than Nichushkin.
See, now you're going to get confused on what even you're saying. Pretty soon you're going to be saying two.
If I just say Val, would everybody be okay?
Well, nobody would get mad.
That's what everybody calls him, by the way.
But would they know you're talking about Nichushkin?
There you go. Good job. Why don't I ask him? The guy's spoken once the entire year. Nobody gets to talk to him. He's a great player, though.
You of all people, you're always like, well, which one is it? Like, is it 8 wins or is it 9 wins? Which one is it? There's a difference.
Okay.
Which one is it? Is it Nichushkin or is it Nikushkin?
I'm going to say Nikushkin because it's easier for me to say. But I know I could say Nichushkin if I needed to.
Right.
Nikushkin. Forget it. Val. I'll just say Val. He's on the top line.
I'm in on Val.
This guy, by the way, he is...
Choo-choo.
He's
choo-choo train.
Okay, fine. You can do whatever you want. You know what I'm talking about. Lighten up, Francis. That's all I have to say to the text line. We're here with you. We've done all the work this year for the Avalanche in hockey. Don't get arrogant now, hockey fan. Everybody's on board. Don't try to separate yourself now.
Say Jimmy G's name.
Garoppolo.
Well, see, it's funny because you're trying to be funny there. You tried to come up with the most ridiculous answer. But that's actually how you usually say it. Don't you usually say...
I say Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo.
Is that wrong?
Yes.
What is it?
Garoppolo.
Instead of Garoppolo?
Correct.
Oh, that's a little bit of my Boston.
It's not a rap. It's...
Yeah, but that's a little bit of my... You got to give me a couple of New England things every now and then, please. For the most part, that's gone. But every now and then, it's going to come up. Garoppolo? You want me to say Garoppolo?
Well, yeah. I mean, it would bother me if you said that you opened up the drawer of your bureau and you pulled out your underwear. I don't know. What do you say for underwear? Is there...
Say
they're
underwear.
Draws. They're draws, right?
Yeah. You open up the bureau.
So you open up the drawer of the bureau to get your draws out.
My draws. I don't know. We got Scott Masters and Mike Evans. They're hockey nerds. They can be all hockey-ish. But the thing about Val...
Scott Masters, he better know.
At least pretend that you know. The thing is...
What have we been talking about Val about? Like, what has this whole conversation been about?
Well, he's an absurdly hard worker, and they're putting... By the way, Avs fans, here's the deal. There's more of a future in Val than Kadri. And we all better just wrap our heads around it, because it'd be great to keep them both, but they're going with Val. Mm. And so this run we have with Kadri is likely, because he is going to get paid. And then the Avs just can't pay everybody. So
you worried about Kadri? You worried about anything going on?
Well, hey, everybody's been asking about it. I asked Justin Faulk about it, who, you know, threw down.
I'm worried, not about what you probably think I'm worried about. I'm not worried about Kadri doing anything stupid.
What are you worried about?
I'm worried about him not being aggressive. I'm worried about him not being the player that he can be, because it's such on the forefront of his mind that now you're timid out there.
Well, we'll see. That's a good question.
How could you not be? Like, that's human nature, right? Like, you're terrified of doing the same mistakes, so you just hit the brakes because you don't want to get overly aggressive. That does concern me a little bit.
Okay, I see it. Listen, this second round thing, to me, Tyler, they win this round, they cruise for the cup. I think it's this second round albatross around their necks. They have been asked about it, I swear to God, from training camp up until today.
Wait.
It's like ridiculous with this second round thing with the Avalanche.
Albatross. That's a two on a five. What does that mean? That's when you get a two on a par five.
You going to be thinking about that at the end of your round?
Heck yeah.
That's the albatross.
I'm going to be thinking about that for the next year.
There you go. That's what they've been doing. What they've been doing.
What's the definition of albatross?
A two on a five. A five on a two. Whatever you said.
Well, it's a two on a five, right?
Albatross is something that it hangs around forever, and you just can't get rid of it. You can't shake it. And that's what the second round has been to this team. And by the way, everybody knows, even with a positive outcome tonight, nobody is fooled. Nobody's going to think this thing is over just because they win tonight, even if they win convincingly.
Oh, my gosh.
They have learned their lesson from last year.
I'd almost be a little bit more nervous. If the Avalanche won 5-0 tonight, I think I'd be a little bit more nervous.
Maybe rightfully so.
If you came out, you dominated again like you did in the first round, and it looks like you're going to reset the exact same thing as last year. You got up against Vegas 2-0, and you were winning in the third game, right?
Let me give you the ultimate Colorado sports argument I've heard a million times.
No, I don't want them to lose.
Some of the crew back in the double Super Bowl time, the Shannon Sharps of the world, that crew, have said, stink, repeatedly, they're not sure if they would have won two in a row if they didn't painfully lose to Jacksonville the year before and got embarrassed.
Right.
They said that was the motivation, not just for the next year, but even the year after.
Yes.
So as an athlete, can you actually use that? Does that actually work to give you further motivation in the future?
So that's a really fun topic. I think 99% of the time, the answer to that is no, because the team is so different, especially in football. Now, hockey's different. There's a lot of guys that are still around. But in football, the roster, you might have 60% new guys. You can't associate the sins of the past to the current guys. It's a new season. It's a new era. Most of the time, I say no. But every now and then, when you've got a team that is in a dynasty mode, when they're in an era and it's more than just a year, absolutely, that could be motivational. When you've got John Elway coming back, when you've got Peyton Manning coming back, and you know that, okay, we lost this year, but we've still got a crack at it next year, it can absolutely be motivational. And if you look at this Avalanche team, hey, the superstars are back. You know, on paper, the Avalanche team, they weren't as deep as they were last year. That was the conversation when the season began. Well, they're deeper. They're better than they were last year. But the crew, the main core, they were all around for it. And absolutely, I think that's motivational for them.
So
in the big picture, I think it's a good thing. Yes.
Asked Berube about Kadri, said no big deal. Asked O'Reilly about it today, nothing to say. Asked Falk about it, who he fought, says nothing about it. All the Avs players, including Kadri himself, says that business has been handled. You buy that or not?
No. Why, absolutely not. Why did Kadri write an article in the Players' Tribune in the first round?
Very good.
Do I think that it's not on his mind? Absolutely not. Now, I mean, if you're asking me...
So how does it manifest itself?
As a team... If you're asking me, am I worried about my teammate doing something again? My answer is always going to be no. Mm-hmm. Even if I am worried about it, my answer is no, because that's the right thing to say. I'm talking to the media. No, I got my teammates back. I doubt if they are worried about him. I think he's proven his worth to this team. And honestly, he had such a tremendous year that how the heck are you going to be worried about it? But for Kadri himself, I am a little bit concerned on if he's going to be able to be as aggressive as he needs to play, just simply because that's in the back of his mind. And absolutely, I know that it's not in the back of his mind. It's in the forefront of his mind. And how do I know that? Because he just wrote an article about it.
I think they can't win the cup without him. Second line center, huge player, first line power play. You need Nazem Kadri to win the cup. And it'll be curious to see how the Blues go about it to try to get under people's skin, yes or no. We are fixing to find out, and it starts in just a couple of hours. We got you covered top to bottom with it with Mike Evans. Look at the workhorse of Mike Evans. When does he stop working?
Mm.
I mean, seriously, when does he ever relent?
Right, morning to night.
Are you kidding?
And all day in between, he sits on his couch and sleeps.
It's somehow he fits in the eight-hour nap in the middle of the day.
I know, it's an impressive nap.
But that drive to Lakewood should not be overlooked, what he has to do.
Right.
Scott Masters, Mike Evans, at 6 o'clock, walking up to puck drop, game on TNT, or TBS, but it's supposed to start at 7:30. I think it will. Can't wait. Question for Mount Palumbus. Let's go. 303-713-1043. Mount Palumbus Speak is next.
Boo-hoo, scandalous. From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus.
I guess you got a good one.
Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
God, I'm getting in the way of Fred there. Sorry about that, Fred. Mount Palumbus Speak is presented by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. I really wish you would have put your name on this one because it's great. But it really did make me laugh as I read it. The almighty Mount Palumbus. Starts strong, huh? If you were forced to choose between these two scenarios, which would worry you most? Avs lose game one against the Blues 5-1. Or the Broncos lose week one against the Seahawks 28-13.
Oh! Mount Palumbus. Speak!
Wow, I mean, that's a tough one. It's kind of funny because you're asking me to panic about something that I probably wouldn't panic about either one of them on the surface. I mean, if the Broncos lost week one against the Seahawks, could I see that happening with the first coach, like first-time coach?
Right.
Yeah, I could see that. It's a tough place to play. If the Avalanche lost the game tonight, would I panic the Avalanche weren't going to win the series? No, I would not.
But the question was, which would worry you most?
Which would worry me the most? I guess the Avalanche. The Avalanche would worry me the most because I am low-key a little bit worried that nobody's giving the Blues the respect that they deserve. I'm a little bit worried that they've got, man, they've got some offensive fireworks over there. They've got as many productive offensive players as anybody in the NHL. And there's the second round thing. There's just the second round curse with the Colorado Avalanche. So there'd be a huge part of me like, okay, you had the time off. Did they get rusty? Was that bad? All the questions that you had. Everybody's assuming you're going to dominate. I would be concerned if the Colorado Avalanche got dominated in game one. Yes,
I'm laughing because the fact that you even think it's comparable is funny. It's comical to compare a team you're favored in the second round of the playoffs and you get spanked by somehow doesn't worry you as much as losing to the Seahawks on the opening day of the of a 17 game season.
Right. It's hard to call game one of the second round do or die because it's a series. It's the best of seven. It's not do or die, but it's do or die time. You are in the postseason. It's all about winning the Stanley Cup. It's on the line right now. And week one for the Denver Broncos out there in Seattle. That is the first game of what should be a 7 to 8 year run for Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos.
Wow, let's hope so, huh?
Right?
Right?
I mean, Russell said, didn't he say 10 or 12 years? That's what he said.
He did.
I think realistically, you're looking at a 5 year window of him playing at a very high level, maybe a 7 or 8 year window total. I'm not going to panic about the first game of a 7 or 8 year career.
Mike Evans sent me a text grinding my way over now.
Wow.
Like, what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it takes a while to get over here from Lakewood.
Oh.
Mike, we are called the drive because there's usually traffic, right?
Sure.
Is he going to be here on time?
What is time?
That's all relative. Back? Well, there's the alpha and the omega. There's the beginning and the end. But time, that just exists. It's there.
I just say Time's a killer song by Hootie and the Blowfish.
Wow. Ba-ba-boom.
Time, why are you wasting time? That's my Darius Rucker, by the way.
That sounds nothing like him.
That wasn't even a joke.
At all.
Bob Palumbus, considering the upcoming season, not the long term, would have the Broncos been better with Rodgers over Wilson?
Question. That's not even debatable. I don't think you could find very many analysts that would say the Broncos would be better in year one with Russell Wilson than they would be with Aaron Rodgers. Number one, Aaron Rodgers was the MVP, so let's not forget that. He was literally voted the best player in the NFL last year, but maybe even more important than the fact that he was the MVP, he's got the chemistry with Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, they would just be moving cities. They wouldn't be starting over. They're just doing it in a new spot. You wouldn't have to figure out the offense. There's no language. There's no barriers. There's no chemistry that you got to figure out. What plays do you like? Aaron Rodgers would definitely be better in year one, maybe even in year two than Russell Wilson, but you don't get the longevity, and you got to deal with all the drama that comes with him.
Mm-mm.
You would agree with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I'm glad Russell's here, though. I'm really glad. And I guess I don't care about I guess really with Green Bay, Tyler, in all honesty, I don't care. The Broncos don't play him this year. Won't see him unless they're in the Super Bowl. I mean, I literally just don't care.
Well, the beauty of the Russell Wilson trade is you kind of got the best of both worlds. Like, the original pipe dream was Deshaun Watson. That was before all the stuff went down, right?
Right.
That was the original pipe dream. You
right.
can get a young quarterback who's got maybe 12, 13 years left to go. He's already a Pro Bowler. And you could have him forever. You could give up whatever you wanted and rebuild. And with Aaron Rodgers, you knew that if you made that move, it was very, very temporary. You had to capitalize in the next 3 years. And by the way, who knows when Aaron Rodgers is just going to say, I don't like this anymore. I don't want to be done. Maybe you could sign him to a 4-year deal. You might only play 2 years of it. Russell Wilson, that's a really good blend. You're getting a guy. I wouldn't call him in his prime. I've heard a lot of people say Russell Wilson's in his prime. He's 35 years old. You can't say he's in his prime, but he's certainly got more years left than Aaron Rodgers does.
On the text line, Mount Palumbus speak. What's worse, Tyler? An invitation to linger from Mike Evans or D-Mac as a Jinxie Cat?
Mount Columbus. Speak.
Well, D-Mac.
Let's keep it real.
I've actually heard this happen on this station multiple times. I've heard a Sandy Clough advertisement followed up with a Mike Evans.
Oh, my Lord.
An invitation to linger.
That is a two for Tuesday we can put out of our minds.
And let's just say that is an image that you can't forget.
No.
That is an image that is going to disturb you. It's going to haunt you. It's going to linger for a long, long time. You are a Jinxie Cat, and you're not afraid of it. You've planned the parade again. You already bought the permits. You've already paid for the vendors.
Nope.
You've definitely got that ability. But there is nothing more haunting than hearing a Sandy Clough advertisement followed up by Mike Evans.
Invitation to linger.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't think that's really close either. If you need me to get in my triathlon wetsuit, I may give those two a run for your money. But it's your money, not Zach Bies, because he has so much of it, he's going to game two.
I know.
Or game one. He's going to every game. What, Zach? What, Zach? He's going to every game? Is that what he said?
See, Zach told us.
As a fan.
Zach said his goal is to go as a fan to every postseason game for the Colorado Avalanche. So we're like, oh, cool.
Okay.
So
right.
So how you pulling that off, right? Like, probably you would think he's just going to limp on into the building. You know, go ask somebody on the street. You got the cheapest ticket available, right? I mean, you got a lot of these to buy. Nope, Zach's just a rich dude. That's a rich, rich dude. He's going big tonight. He's sitting in the luxury seats, and apparently he's planning on doing that all the way along.
You know what I'm looking forward to? When we come back from the next break, time from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yes.
I mean, right?
It's on your side.
It's already happening. It's already happening, right?
That's on your side.
It's already happening. All right, and game balls, and we'll get everybody fired up for this fun matchup. Can't wait to hear Ball Arena tonight. Rocking it out. This is The Drive on The Fan.
You're listening to The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac on Denver's sports station, 104.3 The Fan.
Rucker with Hootie and the Blowfish or solo as a country guy?
Oh, solo. There's no question. And that's
really?
Crazy. Yeah. He is a household name as a country artist.
He wasn't a household name as Hootie?
No, that was a little bit of a niche following. It was a big following.
Baloney.
It was a big following, but it was a little bit of a niche following.
Total record sold. More as a solo artist or Hootie and the Blowfish?
I'm guessing solo. I'm sticking to my guns. Now I want to know.
Nah, yeah, I know. We just let the song breathe a little bit.
It sounds like you're going with Hootie. Is that your official prediction?
Yeah, because it was Hootie. And it's still
Hootie. First off, Hootie's got time on their side for the record sales, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So you've got an advantage there with time.
All right, we got $25 million on Hootie.
Okay.
And I'm going to look it up, but first.
I'm going to say $40
million. First, let it breathe, because we got.
With you, D-Mac.
Like the Dolphins. You know what?
Time away?
I'm glad I didn't make a coffee bet here. Because
I'm going to dominate this one, aren't I?
Well, 25 to me actually wasn't that. I thought it was more than that. They're killing me here. Well, they say $25 million for Hootie, but what is Darius as a solo artist? Gosh darn it. I'm only seeing $2.5 million for Darius Rucker.
No chance. Like in 2 months.
I don't know. You may have to help me on this one there, KJ.
It's a little bit of deep find. Anybody help us out on the text line? Can you get us the official numbers there?
Yeah, but I don't trust the text line.
I do, as long as they got my back.
When do they have your back?
When do they ever have yours?
all the time.
Name a time that they've had your back, D-Mac.
Hootie and the Blowfish have sold more than 25 million copies, but doesn't say anything about him being a solo guy. All right, I don't know. Time is ticking for the Blues. Going to St. Louis. I'll be in St. Louis this weekend. What do I do in St. Louis? Like, Nashville was fun. What is St. Louis?
Well, you could go look at that arch thing, you know.
I've seen the arch. It's not that big of a deal.
You just pass on by, look at the arch. But that's cool, right?
Yeah,
hang out with Nelly.
Is that where Nelly hangs out?
Yeah, buddy.
All right.
Hold on. You don't know Nelly's from St. Louis?
Wait, hold on. It is getting hot in here.
Wow. I don't know if we have time for that.
We definitely don't. Hang out with Nelly. All right. I gotcha. I was told St. Louis pizza is special because of the cheese. And I was like, I don't like cheese.
Well, yeah, what are they famous for?
Ribs or something?
I mean, Kansas City is famous for, I'm sure they're good at barbecue.
St. Louis is for the ribs, too.
Yeah, but I mean, that's Kansas City.
I think I'll just stay in the hotel and just go to the game. Just be good with that. I checked it out. The Cardinals aren't playing.
You could probably use a low-key weekend, you know.
Wife's coming.
That's good. That's good. Now, you see, I would think you would invite the wife to Nashville.
Just for a day.
Right?
Oh, yeah. No.
No. You don't invite the wife to Vegas? Is that what you're saying? Are you that guy?
I think you do invite your wife to Vegas.
I do too. And it's the only way to enjoy Vegas. If you go to Vegas without your wife, you might ruin your life.
I don't think you invite your wife to Nashville.
Really?
It's a subtle difference, but it's...
You might get too hot.
Wow.
Good gracious. Gosh darnacious. I don't know all the words.
Mike Evans has a... Never mind.
Yeah, we'll take business. I don't know if we'll be going back to St. Louis, though. Is there a game 6 in this series?
No. They might bring it home. They might have to play one last home game. But
the Blues probably get one, right? They probably get one.
Feels like
How do you win two off this?
I mean, they've got a good record. They're a good team. They've got a lot of offensive firepower. I would imagine you make it this far in the playoffs, you're capable of winning a game, D-Mac.
Right.
I hope you have a great time out there in St. Louis, though. I do.
I will.
D-Mac, you know, today... I tried to teach my kids life lessons a lot.
How's
right?
that go?
Well, so far they're not old enough to really invest up yet,
okay.
So it's going all right all so right. far.
Good for you.
One of my major life lessons that I try to teach my kids, just be you, right? Just
what?
Be you.
Isn't that what Russell Wilson and Sierra try to teach their
kids? Well, they say, why not you?
What's the difference?
Similar in nature, all be right. you. You know what? Today I'd like to actually give a game ball to a cornerstone foundation of Colorado, the Colorado Rockies. You know, the Colorado Rockies, game ball goes to you for fulfilling all of our expectations and officially falling behind 500 before we made it to June. You know, I know that you Rockies, you flirted with being successful, but no, just be you, Rockies. That's what I tell my kids. Don't try to be who your friends want you to be. Be you, the way God designed you to be. Rockies, you're perfect just the way you are. You're a doormat. You're a relevant baseball team with a dope stadium that people are going to show up to because it's fun to go to Coors Field.
So you're excited about Chad Kuhl on the bump tonight.
Just be you, Colorado Rockies. So congratulations on being the team that we all expected you to be, a below 500 team before June. Right, D-Mac? Game ball goes to Colorado Rockies
well
for that
said.
One.
Well
hey,
said.
Cannot wait to watch this game tonight. I'm fired up for the Colorado Avalanche. This is going to be fantastic. Big game. It's been a long time.
Let's
it feels
go.
Like it's been an eternity
Let's
since they
go.
Played. And we got you covered right here at 104.3 The Fan. We are the spot, the only spot you got to be at. We got Scott Masters. We got Mike Evans coming up next with the pregame show. That starts right now.
Woo!
Next.
Play it, play by play.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.